I'm excited tonight about being here. I'm excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm excited about the power of that word. I'm excited about the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I believe and I know in my heart that the Holy Spirit is life tonight. He is manifesting things. He's showing me many things. However, the preacher up here this morning, because I'm the preacher, does not mean that I am holier than thou or more right. Need the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Amen. There's where I am tonight. There's a saying that I have that, you know, I'd like for us to think about something as we begin these revivals. If you knew that within 3 days, possibly Wednesday, the grave for your physical body was being dug, and the flowers to put upon your grave were being prepared beginning tonight, and the casket for that physical body was being built, and Thursday morning, your body was placed in the grave, and there was a tombstone set over that grave. I ask you tonight, what would your tombstone read? You ever thought about that? Brothers and sisters, friends, that's reality. The Bible says that it's appointed once for man to die, and then what? It's the judgment. We stand in the presence of a sovereign, holy, righteous God. Well, how can we attain all this, church? How can we be holy in the presence of that holy, sovereign God? There's some things that I believe in America, and I weep for the church in America. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 10, God was dealing with his people, and he was telling them, you're looking around you to find your direction in life. And he said, I don't want you to do that, because they're going to the forest, they're cutting down a tree, they're bringing it in, they're tacking it up, they're putting all kinds of things around it, and it's a dead idol. I believe it's time that the churches of America come to the spiritual railroad track of life. On a foggy morning, when you're approaching a railroad track, you cannot see the track. And the air is dense. You can barely hear. You can't see the lights on the crossing. What do? You stop. You look, you listen. I've had people tell me already that they pretty well got out of the vehicle and they got down on the ground to see if they could feel the rumble of the train coming. Why do you do that? Why do I do that? I want to spare my physical life, do I not? And if the train is coming, I surely don't attempt to cross the track. But I stop and I wait till the train has crossed. Tonight, I'd like for us to do something. I'd like for us to examine our life and determine what is coming out of my life. What is coming out of your life and my life tonight? There are two choices tonight on the menu. There's not a buffet when it comes to the spiritual diet of God. There are two menus. The one is saved or redeemed, and one is lost, headed for damnation. Those are the two choices tonight. And as we observe those choices, I would like to have you examine your life. What is coming out of your life? You know, the Bible talks very clearly there in the book of Galatians and some of those chapters about the fruits of the Spirit. And out of a redeemed life, there are fruits coming. You know, the old law. Yeah, and the law was spiritual in its sense. But there was not one man, and there still isn't one man today, that could live up to the perfection of that law. Why? Because human flesh can't do it. I don't know how hard you try, and I hear these resolutions, spiritual resolutions, just about every year. This year, quit talking about it. I won't. So, what do we do?
you know, a lot of energy that says, I'm going to drum up more faith, is simply more positive thinking. And thinking a lot of times doesn't get us where we need to go. However, faith is that element that is an eternal God through a foundation called Jesus Christ. Faith. And don't forget, place your faith in the fact, and feelings are going to come wherever. Now, some days my feelings are bored. But the fact remains that I have placed my faith in the salvation of an eternal, righteous, holy God through the blood of Jesus. By the way, Isaiah 53, a beautiful chapter, quickly, and then I got to, there's just so much to say, church, and then I got to get to what I believe the Lord would have me to share tonight. But in the book of Isaiah 53, it records the account where this holy, sovereign God is looking down upon the travail, the agony, and all of this of His precious Son. And what does that chapter record at the end of that chapter as you scroll down through that chapter? It talks about the iniquity, His stripes, all of that, of us being laid on Him. One who knew no sin, who became sin as a sacrifice, but He was the perfect sacrifice. And at the end of that chapter, I'm blessed because the Bible records this, and God was satisfied. Tonight, I serve a God that is satisfied. It's not in my efforts. It's not in my holiness. It's not in my righteousness. It's nothing that I can achieve tonight, church, that's going to make me righteous, nor is it going to make me holy. Tonight, unless your tombstone reads, forgiven, you and I are lost. Unless you can hang your eternal soul on the hook of forgiveness tonight in the presence of that eternal Father, you're lost. You're lost. It's amazing what Scripture teaches us when it comes to all of this very simple message of salvation, and we've so complicated it today. You've got to do this and this. You've got to do this. You've got to talk right. You've got to act right. You've got to produce. I got it. Well, forget about the goddess tonight. Let's lay our lives at the foot of the cross. Let's see what Jesus Christ has taught us concerning our redemption in Him. Our redemption in Him. If you go to the book of Matthew tonight, very quickly, I'd like to examine chapter 7. I'd like to examine a group of people that Christ talked about here who came to Him. It says this, we'll break in, about 13, I think, is a verse. Yeah, 13. But before that, I want to quickly address the beginning of this chapter because Christ said, judge not that you be not judged. So tonight, let's let the judgment to an eternal God, okay? I have no authority to judge you into heaven, nor do I have the authority to judge you into hell. That belongs to the authority of God. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. By the way, if you're looking around you tonight, trying to find direction for your Christian life, I have a question to ask you. Who told you that the person you're watching and determining it's right what they did, who told you they were saved? Did you ever think about that? A number of years ago, I challenged our congregation back home. It seemed like every brother that came to the Grow Goatees, then we had an episode where they needed different vehicles, and so one bought a certain kind of a vehicle. Pretty soon, somebody else had the same kind of vehicle. Somebody else, and I said, is the Lord telling you all to buy the same kind of vehicle? Brothers and sisters, this may sound radical tonight, but I believe that the divine influence of God's Holy Spirit in our life directs us in every situation of our life. I believe that with all my heart. Let me give you an illustration. I buy cattle through an auction. I make it a habit to pray about these cattle. Ask God to show me those that He would have me purchase. One night, I'm sitting in the auction. And I felt pressed in my spirit that this was one that I was to buy. So I got right on and I began to bid. Well, the thing went out of sight. I couldn't afford it. And I said, Lord, I must have heard wrong. You know, forgive me. The woman that bought that calf, it just ran out of the auction ring, and she said, bring that calf back in here. Brought it back into the auction. She said, I don't want that calf. And I bought the calf. Is God faithful? Absolutely, God is faithful tonight. However, we must be focused, fastened, and locked upon His glory if we're really going to find God. You know how the devil gets us to sin? He gets us to love the sin. 1 John 2 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For everything that's in the world is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And then he says this, if the love of the world is in me, the love of the Father is not in me. Wow. That's pretty clear, isn't it? That's clear language. Either I'm fastened, I'm focused upon the love of the Father, His divine presence in me, or I'm not. You see what's happening in America today. I watched this thing. And because now we love more of the sin, we say to God's standard of righteousness, we say, God, move that righteousness over a little bit and make room for my sin. I tell you tonight that God's standard of holiness will not move for my sin. It's not going to happen. The Bible says, be ye holy as I am holy, thus saith the Lord. So we have all kinds of confirmation that God is desiring to draw us to His holiness, to be holy as He is holy, but it's not by our own merits. Well, in Matthew chapter 7, first part of that says, judge not, that you be not judged. We get over to verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Today, do yourself a favor. Simply begin to ask people, tell me how to be born again. Tell me how to be born again. And the scope or the spectrum of being born again today is getting so broad that, you know what? Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. Let's notice what this passage tells us. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now notice what it says. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, when Lot chose to love those cities, and he moved in the direction of those cities, he pitched a tent outside of the cities, and then when the angels came, he was setting in the gates of the city. That meant he was part of the council of the city. How did Lot get there? 2 Peter tells us about that. It says, Peter says that righteous man's soul was vexed day by day by the filthy and ungodly deeds of those people. Do you think it really matters in our Christian life today where we walk, what we listen to, who our friends are, who our associates are, who we spend all our time with? Listen, the Bible teaches us this, that the brethren, the true brethren, love the brotherhood, and they're tested by their love for God by how they love the brotherhood. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing tonight? Let me ask you a personal question. Do you love the brotherhood? Do you look around you and there's such a burning love and desire to be a part of this fellowship here that you just can't stay away? Is that you tonight? Begin testing your life and see what's coming out of your life. Tonight, if you're loving the world, the love of the Father is not in you. There's two kings. There's two kingdoms. One is a kingdom of righteousness, of holiness. One is a kingdom of destruction, and the final destination is hell. They both have kings. However, the king that I'm serving tonight is the king that wins the battle because he's all authority. He's all power. He's holy. He's righteous. He's just. And there's coming a day when we're going to see the love of God is going to end and the wrath and the judgment and the vengeance of God is poured out upon those who refused his grace. By the way, tonight, what is grace to you? In my own words, here's what grace means to me. It's the opportunity to walk in obedience to the will of God. Very simple, simple definition. But it's the opportunity to walk in obedience to the will of God. There was a day when I was completely on the other side of the tracks. I was lost. Desperately lost. By the way, tonight, do you have the assurance of salvation in your heart? If your body was laid in that grave Thursday morning, would you be able to identify with dear old brother Paul who said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness against that day? Or is that too righteous or too holy, Brother Dan? Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness against that day. How did Paul get there? Paul was a man as you and I. He was flesh. He was blood. However, I believe in my heart that this brother Paul was raised in newness of life by the glory of the Father, as Christ was raised in newness of life by the glory of the Father. You see, in Matthew it says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Then he gives us a warning. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening. They are what? They are ravening wolves. It's very possible tonight for me to look right. It's very possible for me tonight to talk right. It's very possible for me to know how to walk right, to show everybody in here that I am righteous. It's possible for me to do that. But unless I have experienced what the rest of this chapter is going to talk about, I am desperately lost. I am desperately lost. The only people that are going to live eternity in the presence of a righteous, holy God are those that are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Those that are justified by that blood. Those that are sanctified, set apart for the cause of that kingdom. Those are the people that are going home to be with the Father. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? I wouldn't dream of going to a peach tree and demanding an apple from it. I wouldn't dream of doing that. Why? Because it produces the fruit of its kind. It's a peach tree, so it's going to do peaches. It's a cherry. Oh, by the way, this summer I fell into the biggest, fattest sweet cherries on a tree, and I loved them. I mean, I climbed as high as and Dad asked me to harvest this tree, and the ladders weren't quite tall enough, and I found myself on the very top rung, hanging on to branches, and then reaching beyond as high as I could go to get the last cherry. Why? Because I loved him. Is that where you are with the Lord tonight? Are you reaching? Are you panting for God as a deer pants for water? How many hunters we have in here tonight? Yeah. Did you ever sit in a tree and watch a doe or a buck that the dogs had been chasing? And by the way, dogs will bring a deer down every time because dogs can run a lot further and a lot longer than a deer can. And they'll wind them and they'll bring them down. I've watched deer that their sides were just heaving. It was just, They were longing for something. They were longing for the freedom and the release of what was behind them. They needed water. They needed a drink. Tonight, are you panting after God in that manner? The psalmist depicts that when he says, as a deer pants for water, so my heart longs for you, God. Tonight, do you love the thought of Jesus' return? Are you excited about that? How many want to go to heaven? How many want to go tonight? Huh? Do we want to go tonight? Oh, let the heavens open. Let Christ descend. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord. I'm groaning to be delivered of this present. And tonight in my mental picture, I see the throne room of grace. I see the Father seated on that throne, and at His right hand is my Jesus. What's He doing for me? He's interceding for me even as I'm speaking. That I get it right. That I get it right. You know, we can begin the race, but really what matters is how we finish. Doesn't really matter if the tire comes off of the car through the race, but it matters how we finish. Tonight, let me ask us a question. Do you think in a group this size that within 100 years every one of us will be in heaven? What do you think? You know what? Only each one of us can answer that individually. It's by the choices that you and I choose to make. Where we'll live eternity. Will it be in the bliss and the glory of that righteous Father's throne room? Or, breaks my heart, church, to think of the other option. No, it can't be. Church, hell was never created for man. It was created for the devil and his angels. But people are going there. What is it? 3 to 4 people every second. And only 10% of those know the Lord. Does that grip your heart? Or is there somebody in this audience tonight that doesn't know where they're going? They don't want to face death. They don't want to think about death. Death is the last victory to be won. And brothers and sisters, then I'm home. I'm home. I can lay the armor down. I can worship as I desire to worship here. By the way, if you don't have desire to worship the Lord now, we don't live in a mystery world. But we live in a world of reality. The Bible tells me that the redeemed are the ones who are going to worship. The redeemed are the ones who are going to worship. Well, I must hurry on. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Notice these verses, church. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now notice this. Every tree... Sorry, 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. This is my Jesus talking. This is my Jesus teaching me these things. Well, then we get down to verse 21 or 20. It says, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And I ask you tonight, what is the will of the Father tonight? Well, if you read the rest of this chapter in the next few verses, it tells you, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? That's happening today, church. It's happening all around me. But these people are not connected to the authority of righteousness, of holiness, which is Jesus Christ. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, let's listen. When he says, therefore, Christ had something to say. And he's saying, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And what rock do you think that was? It was the sure foundation of Jesus Christ. That's the rock. They placed their faith, their authority in that sure rock, Jesus Christ. Oh, I remember back in the music world, I used to love to listen to that music that brought about a violent, angry spirit within me. And then I love to do evil, and I love to hurt people and things. Ah, the temper didn't quit. I loved that music. That music took me to that spirit. And then today, we're trying to take that same music, we're trying to put some words of Jesus Christ to it, and we're calling it Christian. Listen, how can it be? The Bible says, by their fruits, you shall know them. Oh, we have beautiful posters on the web of these composers. And brothers and sisters, tonight I know them composers behind the scenes. I know where they draw their strength. I know where they're connected to. And it's not the authority of Jesus Christ. I've seen those things with my own eyes. I've experienced those things. That's why I'm adamant about sharing them tonight. If I didn't know, I surely wouldn't tell you. It says, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That rock being Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know, brother, how long you guys usually go, but I want to be considerate. I have one more passage, if I could, in the book of Romans to share. And I believe in this chapter lies the picture of newness of life in Christ Jesus. You know the book of Romans, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. And most Christians love to hole up in the top side of chapter 7. That's what it says. It says this. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Brothers and sisters, that's the flesh. Let's understand what the writer is teaching us here. For what I do, I allow not. For what I do, that I do not. What I hate, I do. Does that sound like victory? Absolutely not. Sounds like defeat to me. Notice, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Remember what we said earlier? There's no flesh can live up to the law. It's a taskmaster. Then he says this, for I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You're not going to find it in the flesh. You're not going to find it there. It's amazing to me that God sent to us His precious Holy Spirit to place it in a body of flesh. Isn't that amazing? It's a miracle that I behold all the time. Yet you take the divine authority of the Holy Spirit out of me, and I am desperately wicked. I am desperately wicked tonight. That's what He's talking about here. He's talking about the flesh. Here I am, I'm struggling. Oh, I just know I'm going to sin. I know I'm going to do this. I know I'm going back to the tavern. I know I'm going back to pornography. I'm bound by the authority of it. And what I don't want to do, I'm doing. You see the defeat? And many people are there today in the name of Jesus Christ. But I want to show you hope. And here's where I get excited. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Isn't that a beautiful picture tonight? Notice what he says. Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? I ask you tonight, did you die at the foot of the cross? Was the flesh crucified? Was the authority that held you in the sin nature, was it broken by the power of Jesus' blood? You see, the reason we have an intercessor at the right hand of the Father today, we're not yet perfected, are we? You know how I'd love to be perfect, church? That would just be great. That means I would always say the right thing. I would always act the right thing. I would always look right. I would always smell right. Huh? Because now I'm the same Paul. I've not attained yet. I'm not there yet. But he said this, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Is your calling tonight earth or heaven? Where is your calling tonight? What are you living and fleshing out in your life? Well, we got to go on. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. And notice this. Notice this. Many people today miss this. What does it say? That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, how? In newness of life. So we also should walk in that newness of life. I tell you tonight that the death could not hold my Jesus. The grave couldn't keep him. The sun wasn't going to hold him. He was coming forth in newness of life. Brothers and sisters, that's the picture tonight. Born again believer. The authority of sin no longer. And by the authority of sin, I mean this. That we continue to live in sin. First part of that chapter. Say then, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? You see, sometimes we're very compassionate to the sin and the flesh in our life. And so the devil says, that's all right. You just keep loving that sin and loving that flesh, but you got this little part right. And so he continues to keep us in the authority of that sin. I remember alcohol in my own life. Does the Bible say this? Use a little wine for your stomach's sake. Am I right? Absolutely, it does. What is the interpretation, though, that the Bible is teaching us then? To be an alcoholic? So you see, I would go out and drink, and the Spirit would continue to convict me. And I knew I was running out of time. I'd come to church with the dry heaves, and I'd go outside of the building, and I'd dry heave. But I used this verse. I said, the Bible says, drink a little wine for your often infirmities and your stomach's sake. However, the Bible says, strong drink is raging. Wine is a mocker. Then it also says this, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the Spirit smote me. I praise God tonight that He did. And God gave me the victory. You see, because I began to hate the sin. And I realized in my life very soon that when I looked at sin, as God looks at sin, I begin to hate sin. I begin to develop a hatred for sin, not a love for sin. I'd like to tell you a story. There was a man in the East. I don't know, maybe, but what he was from around this area. He bought a feed mill. Nothing matter with feed mill. We all are called to make a living, right? By the way, the two values of money are to provide and then to give. Like 40 times the Bible warns against those that desire to be rich. Did you know that? It's like 40 times the Bible warns about those that desire to be rich. Because riches are a powerful tool. And what has happened in America, I believe, this is my opinion, I'm not drawing that from God's word, but I believe what has happened in America today is God blessed America in the past. But the people of God begin the blessings, and they followed the blessings, and they didn't follow God. Now, if God blesses you with a substantial income, and you begin to follow that income, what you're going to do is you're going to grow that income more and more and more. The wealthy man on the face of the earth that died, they interviewed him right prior to his death, and they said, what is enough? What do you think he said? Just a little more. You see, because it doesn't satisfy. The guy bought a mill, and the mill prospered. And he said, if one mill is good, he said, I shall buy the second. The first one, he was able to with the brotherhood. He was able to interact. He was able to make it to church. He was able to make it to prayer meeting. By the way, usually the vibrance of a church is not determined by Sunday morning, but it's determined by those who visit the brotherhood to cry out to the Lord in prayer. The Bible says that my house shall be called a house of prayer. That's what the Bible says. That's what God's Word said. Well, this guy bought the second one. The second mill prospered, but it interfered with Wednesday evening, so that he said, I'll lay down prayer meeting Wednesday evening because my mill's prospering. He said, well, if two are good, I'll buy the third. So he bought the third mill, and it prospered. And created a conflict with Sunday evening. But he said, I'm okay to lay down Sunday evening. It's all right. I'll still go to church Sunday morning. Now, I'm not advocating your attendance in the church house is what saves you. Not at all. But it is a determining factor of your love for the brotherhood and God's kingdom. Years went by. He became a very wealthy man. His mills prospered. And one day, as you and I will do unless the Lord returns, he laid on his bed of death. And that's what we so often forget. There is a day when we shall meet God. And he was laying there, and all at once he sat up and he cupped his hand to his ear. And what are you listening for? This is sad, church. I almost weep every time I say it. He said, I'm listening for the voice of God, but I can't hear it because of the miller's wheels. And he died. Isn't that sad? Grips your heart. But brothers and sisters, we don't need to live there. There's hope. Notice what this says. We are to be raised in newness of life as Christ was raised in the newness of life. We get by chapter 7 and a real quick rundown of chapter 8. When you get to chapter 8, the very first verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It immediately goes to the Spirit that dwells in the redeemed life. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Tonight, if you are a redeemed child of God, you are walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You're walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Notice what it says, and then we'll close. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Tonight, what is coming out of my life and out of yours? What are the fruits that are being manifested? The Spirit of Christ Jesus in me or the flesh? Or the flesh? Because the carnal mind is enmity or is an enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, that's the flesh. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And here's a lot of the turmoil in our culture today. We're living out flesh in an attempt to please God. And church, it's not working. Because that's not what God has called us to be. He has called us to be redeemed, to be set free, to live and function in His Spirit, to guide us into all truth, to convict us. Oh, it's beautiful. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Those are some powerful words, church, that led me to some serious soul searching years ago. I named the name of Christ, but I lived without the authority of His Spirit in my life. I came to these verses, heard it on a CD, as I recall. It caught my attention, and I thought, wait a minute, is this truth? So I went to God's Word, and I began to examine. and the Holy Spirit interpret for me. If the Spirit of Christ does not rest in me, not beside me, not over there, not out there, in me, I am none of His. Let's pray. Father, tonight there's a lot of power in these passages. The authority of You, Lord, is all over in Your Word. Because, God, You are the authority of the Word. Your Spirit and Your Word will never be divided because they are one. The call to holiness, Father, is urgent in our midst today. The call to righteousness. Be ye holy as I am holy, thus saith the Lord. The Bible teaches us that God's eyes are roving to and fro across the earth. They're looking for a perfect heart, one that desires and longs. Matthew 5:8, Father, You've taught us, blessed are the pure in heart, because we're going to see You. Oh Lord, your word is just full of those promises. Tonight, Father, I would pray that if there's anyone here tonight who is grappling, who is struggling, may the divine influence of the Holy Spirit make it very clear in their lives. May there not be a shadow of a doubt, but Lord, You are faithful, and I trust You tonight with Your word because it's Your authority. It's Your authority. Lord, may You do with it what pleases You, and I know it will not return unto You void, but it's going to accomplish what it's been sent to accomplish, and that also is Your authority. So, Father, may You completely remove man, and may it be Your work that brings glory, honor, and praise unto Your precious name, and the name of Jesus be lifted up, and all eyes and hearts here tonight would see Him. May You bless these moments in Christ's precious name. Amen. I'd like to give us a simple invitation. Altar is a friendly place. God is where you want to meet, and there is where you want to be. You want to be with God. And every heart, I know this for a fact, every heart that was ever created or opened the womb has a void within it that cries out, I want God. But the devil says here, I will fill it with all these things. And what I learned in my life of running with sin, every sin I committed and the next one I reached for did not satisfy. And I became a fugitive. And I was running. Not only from the law, but from God and from the church. And I ran and I ran and I ran, but I could not escape the presence of God's Holy Spirit. I couldn't do it. And finally I said, yes. Finally I said, yes. You know what? You don't know how much joy would bring to my heart tonight if you're there and you say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, let alone the rejoicing that goes on in heaven. We're one soul that comes to Him. Tonight, I'd just like to open it up for a little bit. I'm not one that drags on invitations. You know if God is speaking to you. You know if the Lord's speaking to you, if His Spirit is upon you tonight to do something about whatever in your life. I'm going to give that time to you. Simply like to stand and sing a verse of song. If the Lord is speaking to you, take care of it, I plead. Take care of it.